And we want to go to 1 Kings chapter 17. Oh, we certainly want to wish each of you mothers a happy Mother's Day. And just reminding the kids this morning that their mother's been their mother for 23 years, some of you a lot more, and it's a lot of labor and a lot of work every single day. Julie and I was having a conversation yesterday or the day before about how much food our family is consuming. It's all of the work and preparing all of it and watching it just whoo, in just a few moments is gone, but that's a blessing. And this morning, we're going to talk about instructions with provisions. Instructions with provisions. And before we begin, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you for the day that you've given to us. And I thank you once again for this day and the mercies that are new, for the rain, for the sunshine, for the wind, Lord, for just being able to see the things that are green and growing and flowering. And Lord, we know that you are in control, and we just thank you for that. We do ask that you would speak to our hearts today, Lord, that you would give us the hope to go forward and take the steps that you'd have us to, or to be waiting and patiently listening for your still small voice. And Lord, whatever the need might be this morning, that, Lord, we would get the answers. Lord, that we would honor you, that we would exalt you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we just thank you for the preservation of your word that can encourage our hearts. And Lord, that we can use it to encourage others. And Lord, there's certainly a lot of people today who need to be encouraged. Lord, some have lost their family members this week. Some are struggling with financial difficulty. Or some are searching for you and don't know where to look. And so Lord, give us wisdom in these days. And Father, we just commit our nation to you. We ask, dear Lord, that our nation would humble itself before you. Lord, just thank you for that long suffering to us. Lord, bless this moment. Lord, I pray you just give me the words to say. And Father, that we would just be drawn closer to you. And we'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in 1 Kings 17. We're just going to read verse 1 for a moment. It says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Well, today it's very easy for us to listen or to hear on the news or wherever that there are all kinds of instructions that we need to be following. All kinds of instructions through signage, through the radio, television, billboards, and all kinds of things. So I wrote down a small list just of some of the signs that I have seen this week. That you're not going to be given service unless you wear a face mask. And then on some of them, it goes on to explain that covers your mouth and nose. So some instructions there. Everywhere that you go, you see these little signs with two people and an arrow between them, and it has a 6 foot between them. And so there's the 6 foot distance. I've seen signs that say, "Wash your hands frequently for 20 seconds. Okay, that's a lot of time in a day. You start adding that one up. Follow the one-way arrows in each of the aisles. We've got one-way roads going now. Do not exceed the 25% capacity of any given building. All non-essential items may not be purchased. Do not enter the non-essential area." Of course, we know that some of these have been rescinded, and there's just one comical moment for me, and maybe I've already said this, I'm not sure, but I was at Menards a couple weeks ago, and I was coming out of the painting area. I wasn't buying painting, but I was coming out of the area, and this older gentleman, he looks at me and he goes, "You're not supposed to be over there, Heil Hitler!" And I just laughed, you know. Obviously, he's on camera somewhere now, you know, and I don't know how many people have chuckled about that one, but I just said, "That's about it." And he goes, "Oh, you know it." So there's all kinds of instructions that we've been given in these days. And I'm sure that I'm missing a few of these. And for the most part, we're pretty well versed in them now. But here's the clincher. How well have you followed those instructions? I have seen all kinds of instances where people walk into the store with a mask down under their nose. Some just wear it around their neck. And they get in the door with it up and then it's down again. You know, just to get where they want to go. I've seen a heavier set fella just sweating with his mask on. And finally he just, I can't take this no more. You know, all kinds of situations because of these instructions. But how well have we followed these instructions? There is a lot of dissension over these instructions. A lot of them. Some are afraid and some are very upset. Some are worried about getting sick and some are worried about their rights being trampled. And so these instructions have created a lot of dissension. There's great concern on some people's part because there's no promise of provision. There's no promise that they're going to stay healthy. And on the other side of the cone, there's no provision that their lost wages will ever be recuperated because of these instructions. So for some, it's the protection of the Constitution. And as a result, there's skepticism and there's a fear taking hold on that side. And of course, then you have the constant fear that this sickness is going to come back. And it's going to be stronger than ever because we're going to be tired of those old instructions and nobody's going to want to comply through the second wave. And there is where that power of man takes you. The power of man will always bring us very low. Always. But as a child of God, these instructions that we find in His Word speak life to us and speak freedom to us. Before we continue here, let's just remind ourselves of Matthew chapter 4. We did read this last week, I believe, but in Matthew 4, verse 4, and it says here in Matthew 4:4, but He, Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so that is where we are going to find true life. As a child of God, the instruction is with real purpose. The instruction, the Word of God, is with real purpose. Let's just remind ourselves a couple famous verses here in Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Because the Holy Spirit takes that and puts it right where each one of us need it. We're to that point of understanding. Doesn't mean that there's going to be obedience, but at least that there will be the acknowledgement or the understanding of it. And it's with real purpose because there is a specific place where the Word of God needs to get. And as a result, once it gets there, it is not going to return in vain. Isaiah 55:11. It says here in 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And because it's the word of God, we know that it's going to come true. Does it mean that we're going to be able to see the results that we want? Not necessarily. God does have a plan, and He is certainly in control. As we go back, though, to our text in 1 Kings 17, there may be moments in your lives, or maybe you're in that moment now, where it seems like you are not making a difference, or you are not seeing a difference as a result of your existence on that planet. And if I can just remind you, that's not the point. It doesn't really matter. When we're worried about the difference that we are making, we're relying on our flesh. That's flesh dependency. When we're relying on Him, we can just hope and expect for Him to do a work in our area, not because I necessarily have had this major role to play in it. Not that we are not supposed to play a role, but that idea that I'm not making a difference, There's no point. There's no use. I'm not needed. I'm not loved, etc. That's where that path takes you as you dwell on it in your mind and in your heart. We do have real purpose. And every minute that we walk with Jesus, His Word is what is making the difference. It's His Word. I was speaking with someone recently that you can say all kinds of powerful things, phrases, but until someone receives the gospel, all of these other things aren't or will not make sense to them. The Bible says it's by the foolishness of preaching. That's what He chose. And there's a lot of people that would say, you sound pretty foolish up there. Do you really even know what you're talking about? And there's a host of thoughts that would surround those individuals like that. But I want us to consider this morning that we have Elijah here, and he is saying something very powerful because the people have not responded to his message, literally. And that is the reason for this. They haven't responded to the Word of God, and so there is a need for some discipline to take place here. And it says, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, help me out. What does it mean to not have rain? What would that imply? Famine. What else? Drought? What else? A lot of things we can put under this. If there's no rain, what are some things you're not going to be able to do? At least with frequency.
Farming.
I can't hear.
Farming.
Okay.
Mow the grass.
Praise the Lord for that.
Take a bath.
That's one of the things I was thinking of. You're going to have to limit your bath washing. You're all going to have to use the same bucket. What else? How about just drinking? Just drinking water. If you're restricted on water, I know at times our soldiers have been in some really tight spots and there hasn't been enough water for them and they've had to ration water. And that would be extremely difficult. You know, that's another funny thing I've seen this week is a lot of people have had itches on their nose. And they go to reach for it and they got this crazy mask and then they're not sure what to do and then the beard's in the way and all of these different things. And there's that sense of being trapped. Well, when are you the most thirstiest? When you don't have any water. When we leave church, I can't tell you how many times we leave church or we're just getting into the van from going outside of this building and the kids will start saying, the little ones will start saying, I'm thirsty. I need a drink. Can I go back inside? And it was like, no, we're going home. We'll be there in a few minutes. You can get a drink at home. And you get halfway home, there's this, I'm so thirsty. I mean, it's 7 minutes from here to our house. But when you don't have water, it seems like that's when your mind is possessed with needing water. And so just consider what this meant to the people as Elijah said this. They were important instructions. And so the instruction is with real purpose. And this lack of rain for the lost, it meant the end or the beginning of the end of survival in a powerful way. There's a couple of examples. We'll come back here in a second. One in 2 Kings. Let's jump over here to 2 Kings chapter 6. Let's see where desperate people get when they don't have food or water. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we'll read verse 24 through 29. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of his cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, Help, my lord, O king. And he said, If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress? And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her the next day, Give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And that is where people get to when they don't have the things and they become desperate and they don't think logically or rationally. Even here in our text of 1 Kings, when there came this point where there was no water and nothing was growing, In verse 12, we'll just read this verse, and it says, "And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth," in 1 Kings 17:12, "I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in, dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." So there was this great discouragement and this depression that was coming over the land because they didn't have water. Just one element, water, that impacted so much. It was bringing them to a breaking point. And it was bringing them to a breaking point because there was a great need for them to humble themselves, to draw nigh to God, that He would forgive their sin and heal their land. That need to humble themselves. But they had to see that they had a true need. It couldn't just be that physical. It just couldn't be that emotional. It just couldn't be that momentary need. But it needed to be that of the spiritual one. They needed to seek the one true God who didn't want them to die. There's several instances, but let's just remind ourselves so here a couple in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 18:31, Ezekiel 18, verse 31, and just save a little time. We're just going to read that last phrase. In Ezekiel 18:31, it says, "For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye." And then in chapter 33:11, chapter 33:11, and we could see examples of this all throughout Scripture when we look at the details and the response of God's Word. In Ezekiel 33:11, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his evil way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die?" It wasn't that God was getting delight in not giving them water. He wanted them to come to Him, to depend on Him, and truly live, to not be under that bondage. So that the instruction given to the lost was detrimental as long as they were unwilling to humble themselves. But the lack of rain for the believer was the beginning of miracles. And we've been in a situation where we've had the opportunity to let Christ's light shine through us. But there's also a huge tendency to complain and to create or cultivate dissension. I had an idea, and maybe one of the boys will develop a message, or maybe I will. But there's two ways to look at peacemakers. It all depends on how you spell the word peace. And that's what we are practicing right now. Peace, as peace on earth, bringing things together. Or peace as a log splitter, driving them apart. What kind of peace are we creating? Pieces to separate everything? I thought it was ironic. I read a quick little thing about Obama and him talking about how pathetic all this dissension is. And I'm like, it started with you, you know? But he's under attack and he wants to defend himself. And see, when we're under attack, that's what we do. We want to defend ourselves at any cost. But let's remind ourselves that when there is a lack of something for the believer, that is the beginning of this opportunity for miracles. And so as we read in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 2, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying unto Elijah," it says, "get thee hence." In English, that means get out of here quick. Get thee hence. Get out of here quick. It says, "And turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." And so these instructions, they brought this opportunity for miracles. Take your Bible and go to Isaiah 40 for a second here. In Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. It says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." That's what was happening. They didn't have water. Things were fading away. But God gave him, Elijah, some instructions. Get out of here quick, go in this direction, and arrive at this destination. Specific instructions. Let's jump to Luke 21. Repeats this same situation here in Luke chapter 21, verse 33. Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And so we have confidence, or we can have confidence that the Word of God is sure. It's a safe place to rest in. And so when God already had led Elijah to make this bold statement, this word comes to him that it's time for him to move, and that there is a specific place for him, a specific area that has been prepared for him. And these instructions were from the Almighty God that was able to keep the rain from falling. There are days where I wish the rain wouldn't fall, and today is one of them. Because tomorrow I have to dig a bunch of holes for a deck in solid clay. And when it rains on this yard, it's just slimy for days. It takes forever for that to dry out, but I have to do it tomorrow. So there's some days I'd like it to not rain. But then there are a host of other people that are praying for me, God, please send the rain. And so we see that God is in control of the climate. And God is in control of these circumstances, and He's also in control of the instructions. Because remember, the instructions have a true purpose. So, God told Elijah to go. He told him what direction to go. He told him where to end up. And in verse 3, it says, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Verse 4 says, and it shall be, that thou shalt drink of the brook. He just told the people it wasn't going to rain. But God is providing for him, providing water for him. There wasn't the distinction in these few words that there would be the chosen ones, like during the plagues, at times the children of Israel didn't have to go through them. We don't see this provision right here in these few words that are recorded. But God does assure Elijah that He's going to give him water. Why? Because Elijah trusted in His word and was exercising obedience to His word. It was this place that was prepared with provisions. Do we know where God is leading us? Do we know where God is leading us? It is when we do not know where He's leading us where that discontentment can creep in so quickly. We lose focus, we lose sight because we're just wandering. Maybe not completely out of the way, but we're not convinced of a specific direction. Well, if we're not convinced of the instructions, is it because we can even hear the instructions? And as I thought of these questions last night, this morning a little bit, Elijah would have never gotten the instructions to go to this place that was prepared for him if he wouldn't have been willing to say what was necessary. Obedience from Elijah had to happen first. And then God boldly shows him this provision. This provision specifically for him. The word Cherith means cutting or ravine. God was saying the water will be there for you to be refreshed, and it will also be a safe place. But there certainly was a journey first. There was this journey first that he had to comply in verse 1 with the instructions. You know, the book of Jonah could have been drastically different had he just went to Nineveh first and given the instruction. And the provisions that God could have given to Jonah. But Elijah here is demonstrating this, and it should be a great encouragement to us. Could we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. No, sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 16 and 17. Second Corinthians 4:16-17 says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, he had this journey to take, and journeys are not the easiest thing. So many times you'll hear people say, I had to come home just to rest from the vacation because it was all work. Or that we were constantly running here and there and seeing and walking and all these activities, and I had to come home to rest. Well, you have this journey where God says, get out of here quick. How many times when we leave the house quickly do we forget something? We leave something behind. God was saying to Elijah, don't worry about it. I have it prepared for you. Verse 17 is interesting. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What happens here is that Elijah is greatly blessed. He has water that he doesn't have to go search for. And as we continue on in 1 Kings 17, he has meat. It says, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Now, I know some of us are pretty particular about our food. And not too many years ago, I heard of an individual that did not want to eat anything in a potluck because he didn't know how and who was preparing it where. I can understand that. I can remember many, many, many times being served something on a dirty plate, or there was a hair in it, or the cup was dirty, or there was something floating in the water, or whatever it was in there. Host of things. I get it. Well, God is saying, okay, you trust me to say something very, very much rejected by the king at that point, and I have kept you safe. I've given you a safe place where you can rest, where you can hide, where you can get water, but I'm also preparing you this food in this manner. Now, you don't have to worry about whether the waiter is beautiful or strong or anything. You just have to be grateful for what I bring you. And so this provision continues. And Elijah is fed and he is drinking, but there's still that continued result of not having rain. And Elijah is isolated. We don't see anyone coming to visit him. We don't see anybody trying to find him. And just imagine if it was you. And this period of lack of rain is taking place, and you can't see or talk to anyone. I mean, that's what's happening with a lot of these people with corona. I have a friend, Adam Andrus, who had been in the hospital all week this week. And he went in with pneumonia. Then they had took two tests that said he was positive for corona. And then they took a third test directly out of his lung, and it came back negative. He was feeling better, but his oxygen levels were going down, so they isolated him and no one could see him. And he was feeling very lonely. He was like, can anybody come and play a game with me? And he was feeling lonely. Well, just consider, this is Elijah. And yes, he's a man of God, but God created us to be with other people. He did not create us to be alone. The Bible says it's not good for a man to be alone. We go crazy when we're left alone. And so as we see that the provisions in this place were tapering off, it's only because God had another place prepared for him. So let's continue on. It says it came to pass in verse 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him at the precise moment the word came to him, and he says, verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath. More instructions, more destinations, a specific direction to go, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have sustained a widow woman there to sustain thee. So not only is God going to give him another source whereby he may drink water and eat food in another miraculous way, he's giving him fellowship with someone else, actually with a few people in that area. And I want to encourage us this morning that when we seek him first, and why don't we just go to Matthew 6, there's a few verses there that can encourage us, but when we seek him first, he has so many provisions laid up at certain destinations when the time is right. Why could he not have gone directly to that widow? Probably because the widow wasn't ready to receive him. She wasn't ready to receive the miracle. The timing wasn't right. Elijah needed to see how much God was going to provide for him in these many days without rain. Now, bricks just don't dry up in 2 weeks because there's no rain. This is an extended period of time here. But in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Matthew 6:25, it says this: "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Consider Paul going before Caesar, Nero. I mean, at the hands of Caesar, his life was extremely fragile. Elijah, before this king, the king Ahab here, his life was very fragile if we just look at it through the physical eyes. And yet here we see, take no thought for your life, for what you should eat, what you should drink. Is not the life more than meat? Because it's the word of God that sustains man. Verse 26, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, nor yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" I will just give a quick testimony that God has provided for our family in a powerful way in these last 6 weeks. Just a powerful way. And I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful that He has done these things for our family. And you can continue reading on through Matthew 6 and seeing that, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And that's what happened. Elijah served God first, and then he had the water, he had the protection, the shelter, he had the food to sustain him. And when that was running out, God said, "That's fine, because I have another place for you to go. And this place will be even better. You'll have a house, you will have fellowship with people," and the blessing continued. The provision continued, because God's word was powerful enough to do so. The continuation of His plan is what we can see there in 1 Kings chapter 17. The plan did not end with Elijah out in the desert. And the plan didn't even end with the widow. And at each step of the way, these provisions are made known to Elijah. They weren't all given to him up front. Elijah didn't know, okay, well, you're going to have so many days here and so many days there, and then you're going to come back home. He didn't say that. God gave him the information that he needed at the time, and he could rest and be contented with that information. And could I just challenge us with a thought about that? Are we contented with the information that he is giving to us? But that has to take us back to the prior question. Do we know where we're going? Do we know the direction of his will? Because if you don't know the direction of his will, the contentment in the instruction will not be able to be in existence. And so there are these steps of faith. There are steps of trusting and these steps of obedience to our God. Just like the widow needed help, she needed miraculous help. She thought this was it. Elijah also needed help. He needed fellowship. He needed to know that God was not done using him. And this morning, maybe there is that point where you said or you thought, am I of real or true value to anyone or to anyone outside of my house? Does anyone care that I am still healthy or that I'm struggling? Let me just say that God knows all of that. And as long as He's given us breath, He has given a purpose with provision if we will simply trust and obey. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. This passage that we're reading in 1 Kings is just a little example of what we're seeing in 1 Corinthians 11, 1. It says, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Elijah was leaving that example that as he trusted God's word, he could expect God to work, and the widow learned that. She learned that because Elijah trusted in God, that little bit of meal was always there. The Bible doesn't say that the barrel filled up, but God kept it there. The oil was always there. The water was there, as long as that was the place of provision. And when it ceased to be the place of provision, God gave instruction to move forward, to move on. So I have a question for us now, another question. Who needs you? Who needs you? Really, Israel needed Elijah because Elijah gave them truth. They needed to hear the truth. But later on, Elijah needed the widow and the widow needed Elijah. Elijah needed the fellowship. The widow needed to hear God's word. There was a need. Who needs you this morning? Do you know who needs you? Who is coming to remind you that you're needed? The Bible says to exhort one another daily. Exhort one another daily. And that hinges upon, are we trusting? Are we obeying? Even when it means saying that difficult thing. Even if that's what it is, it's saying the difficult or the hard thing. Help is near, and blessings are ever present. But we must trust and we must obey to see those marvelous things that our eye hath not seen nor our ear hath heard. But God has prepared for them that love Him. So let's pray. Father, thank You for the day. And I just thank You for this lesson here and the encouragement that we can gather from it. Lord, that there certainly are stages in life. There are certainly steps. There's a path to be trod. But we thank You, Father, that these are all things that You have prepared with expectation, with hope, with blessing. And Lord, may we anticipate this journey with joy and enjoy the opportunity of growing and learning and fellowshipping. Lord, I just pray that You would help us to always desire to stay focused on what it is that You see. Lord, please just rebuke the devil and his angels. Lord, just thank You once again for Your love and for Your word for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hopefully, David.